From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Do you always have the nagging feeling that there's something you should be doing? Well, David Allen thinks he can help. David Allen is the author of Getting Things Done. He's been called the personal productivity guru. 10 days into the new year, perhaps you're struggling to keep your New Year's resolutions. Some of Allen's methods will keep you on track. I spoke with David Allen in 2009 about how to clear your mind for stress-free productivity.
So I mentioned to someone that I was talking to, David Allen, the author of Getting Things Done Today, and they kind of had a blank look on their face. And then all of a sudden, an awareness came into place. And they said, is that the list guy? And I said, kind of. It's kind of the list guy.
Kind of the list
because,
guy.
Because what people, what this person remembered and what a lot of people remembered is that you're very focused on compiling lists. But it goes a lot deeper than that. Talk a little bit about your basic idea behind getting things done.
The extended mind. Just like you get in a car so you can get downtown a little faster, you need to be able to build an extension of the mental thinking and executive thinking process so that your mind doesn't sit there and have to keep spinning over decisions you haven't made and trying to remember and remind. It doesn't do that very well.
It's that building part that makes some people nervous. They think this whole process of getting myself organized is going to be such a big deal. It'll be just like another huge task that'll slow me down.
Well, for the most part, most of the models and tools that showed up are a pain and aren't worth it, quite frankly, because, you know, most of what passes for organization is people rearranging incomplete piles of unclear stuff. And that won't work. I mean, to-do lists primarily are incomplete, and there's still decisions not made about what's on there. So it's not about just getting things down. There really is a whole set of things you need to do to get stuff off your mind. And that's, you know, that's basically what my game is all about. It's not about getting things done, by the way.
Just call it getting things done.
Yeah, you call it getting things done. Well, what it's about is being able to be totally lost in whatever you're doing. And if you're here on the planet to actually get things done, you damn well better be getting things done. Otherwise, you won't be able to be totally lost in the moment. So it's really more of a function of what are you here to be doing. And it seems like that, you know, I'm into clear space. I mean, the strategic value of clear space. But it's hard to have clear space if some part of you says, and I need to be getting things done.
We're talking about Getting Things Done, the book by David Allen, subtitled The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. So part of what you're saying is to get all this stuff out there, kind of a comprehensive inventory, not just of things to do, but of our intentions. And what do you mean by that?
Well, one of the greatest sources of stress is breaking agreements with yourself. You can fool me, but you can't fool yourself. Some part of you knows whether or not you're keeping your own agreement about time with your kids, mom and her elder care, the garden you let go to crap,
that
you know, whatever it is, and all of that there. The whole idea to quiet that is to be able to manage appropriately the inventory of what your commitments are and then renegotiate them constantly. In other words, you can only feel good about what you're not doing when you know what you're not doing. But there's very few people on the planet who've actually been responsible to themselves, given the complexity and sophistication and subtlety and rapidly changing formats of our lives. Most people haven't really acknowledged how incredibly, incredibly complex our lives really are. If you start to map all of that, and I've done all that, but the trick is you can't get rid of this stuff and get it off your mind and get the pressure off you just by ignoring it or drinking it or meditating. You know, you can get away from it, but you won't clear up the static by doing that.
How can we make sure that we're not starting our inventory too soon? In other words, we could end up starting to make a list without really considering what that list is about or what those intentions are about. I mean, in other words, how do we get to our authentic intentions as opposed to just jumping right in and beginning to do the work?
Well, you don't want to work first, but what you do want to collect anything top of mind. As a matter of fact, the first stage, there are 5 stages of how you get control. And control, it's really about not about getting organized, it's about getting control. And organize is only a portion of that. The first thing you have to do is capture stuff that's pulling on your psyche. So if you think about it, there's a lot of important things in your life, Ross, I'm sure, that are not on your mind because they're on cruise control. Whatever they are, you've made some appropriate decision about it, and you've parked the results into some systematic process that you trust. So that's not pulling on you, even though it is an important thing in your life. It is on cruise control in that way. It's the stuff that's on your mind that's not yet onto cruise control. Why isn't it? Usually because there's decisions about that thing you haven't made yet, or you haven't parked the results in some trusted place. So you don't have to finish things to get them off your mind. But what you do have to do is collect. There's 5 stages. You got to collect it. You got to clarify what it is I collect. Then I have to organize the results of that thinking. And then I need to review and reflect on the whole inventory so that then when I engage, I know what I'm doing and, what, more importantly, what I'm not doing, and constantly renegotiating. See, everybody listening to this right now, I'm sure at some point has felt overwhelmed and confused and sat down and made a list and felt better. If you'd actually sat down and reverse engineered how come you do, you'd never keep anything in your head the rest of your life.
Give us an example of how this actually reduces stress.
Well, a good example would be, let's take something on your mind. You don't have to say something right now, but whoever's listening to this right now, top three things that are pulling on your attention, right? Mom and elder care. Problem with my son's math grades. My daughter just showed up and said, I want more math, and she's 10 years old. You know, or I got an event coming toward me. Summer's up, or, you know, all kinds of stuff. Whatever those things are, you know, the first, if I were your coach, first thing I do is, well, what is that thing? You write down mom. I say, great. Then I'm going to say, let's clarify. Why? What about mom? Well, mom's birthday's coming up. I don't know. Well, what's going to do? What are you committed to, research or have the birthday party or what? So I'm going to get you to make the executive decisions about what those things mean. Once you said, yeah, okay, I need to look into whether we want to give mom a birthday party. Great. R&D, you know, research, mom birthday party. Great. Go on my project list. What's the next step? Oh, next step. Oh, right. Oh, you know, I need to – I know what my – I don't know. You know, I need to call sis and talk to her and see about what mom said about this. Ah, call sis. Now, watch what happens. You know, in about – it took about 22 seconds for you to determine, to capture the idea, then put it in front of your face, make the executive decisions. What am I committed to do about this, and what would doing look like? I mean, the way you get things done is you define what done means and what doing looks like and where that happens. So now here's the project. I'll look into this thing, and here's a thing called pick up phone, call sis. Now, interestingly enough, people look at that, oh, I can do that. Whereas before, they just had this gnawing sense that there's something I would, could, should, maybe ought to do about mom. Now they've gotten clear about what it is. They actually like – you actually like to pick up the phone and finish stuff. So people actually like to be engaged and be productive. But, it, you know, in the old days, you just showed up and you make and move things. So unmade and unmoved things make it real clear how to spend your day. But these days, you actually have to think. And that's that thinking process that I uncovered. You have to actually do that.
You wrote that people fail at this process of getting things done when they trust their psyche rather than their system.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, your psyche, you know, if your psyche is hanging on to stuff, I guarantee you that if you're keeping track of something you would, could, should, might, ought to want to do, and your psyche is the only place that that's holding it, you're giving it inappropriate attention. It's either going to bother you more than it should. You've thought 42 times about that light bulb you need to replace every time you walk by it. You know, that's, you know, that does not deserve that kind of attention, right? Or you're not giving it the tactical attention it deserves because you stuck it in there and it's getting mixed up with a lot of other things. Your brain is not designed to hold ideas. It's designed to have ideas but not to hold them. You know, a lot of studies in terms of just your short-term memory can only hold about, you know, 7 things plus or minus 2 and still function objectively with that data set. So basically the idea is the mind has the idea, but I need to then externalize it so that then I can step back and see if that's why when you make lists, the reason it starts to relieve the pressure is you start to see all those things and you're able to put it in a much better context and then renegotiate with yourself. Well, wait a minute. That's what that is. Oh, okay. That's okay that I'm not doing that right. Ah, okay. So you just are able to more clearly do that.
A lot of people who are trying to focus use Outlook or their PDA or their day planner. When I went to get you in the green room, I noticed you didn't have a PDA out. You didn't have a cell phone out. What do you think about those ways that many people rely – many of those tools that many people rely on?
I have all those. I just looked at them and used them to make sure that nothing would blow up so that I could walk away from them with clarity. That's the whole point. But, you know, you could write it on your arm. You could write it on the wall. What it's not is in my head. You're talking to somebody right now with absolutely nothing on his mind, and that maybe that's evident to people listening to this. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that could be on my mind. It's just I put it to bed already, and it's not following me around so that I could just be – this is fun. You know, I like doing this kind of stuff. So I love to just show up. I do have the one thing that you don't see that I have in order to be able to tie that is I'm pulling out my little note-taker wallet. And there's every single thing that has popped in the last few hours that has not gotten into the system yet, but it's not in my head. It's already out, and these things will then get into my in basket and then be processed and then be put on those kind of lists that I'll look at and go, no, I'm going to have a beer.
What technology or software do you use for your system? Well, after you've jotted them down, you need to get them someplace. Not your arm, I guess,
right?
Because you have to roll up your sleeves every time to
right.
follow it. And it might be a lot longer than your arm. Like, what is a good way to keep all this stuff organized?
Well, we're looping all the way, going full circle here. You just need lists. I need a way to keep list once I've made the decisions about it. So what happens is the paper collects the stuff that goes into my in-tray. Then to clean up my in-tray, I then make these decisions I've been talking about. What is it? What's the next action on that? And if I don't finish it right then, which sometimes I do, then I need to park some reminder. That's a phone call. That's a document to draft. That's something to buy at the hardware store. And I just park those in the appropriate places. So when I'm in those contexts, I'll see the things I told myself I need to do when I'm in those contexts. We use Lotus Notes in our company, so it's similar to Outlook. It's just a way you can – it's got a task manager in there. It's just a place you can make lists. I used the Palm before that, Palm desktop software. Before that, for 15 years, I used a planner from Denmark. You know, so paper planners are great. They work just as well.
David Allen, some people know him as the list guy. Some people know him as the getting things done guy. But as you heard, there's a lot more to it. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Next week on The Conversation, we'll talk about the physics of Wall Street with physicist, mathematician, philosopher, and kitten lover Jim Weatherall. Also, sit down with a professor of psychiatry to talk about how hypnosis works. We'll talk rules of the road with KUOW's favorite traffic cop, Officer John Abraham. He'll take your questions about driving laws. Also, ever wondered what's the least amount of exercise you can do and stay healthy? Well, that's what I always wonder. We're going to have with us a fitness expert. We'll try to get the answer to that question, among others. That's all coming up on The Conversation next week. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.